This morning, I thought it good to consider a special aspect of the person and work of Christ. A special aspect focused on the words of our text from John chapter 10, verse 10, where we read simply, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Perhaps you have come across this verse in your readings and stopped and considered it for a moment. Or perhaps you have stopped and studied it for a longer time and obtained some richness and encouragement from it. For it is indeed both rich and very encouraging. And as my thoughts were directed to it this week, I pray that yours will be too, and that together we will rejoice in the greatness of our Saviour. For that is what this text is about. It's a text that is describing the greatness of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes at its heart the reason for his coming, namely that he comes to bring a gift, and then describes how great that gift is. In short, Jesus is the door to abundant life. Let us look at our readings more closely as we try to understand this better. Throughout John chapter 10, Jesus is continuing his vital instruction about who he is and what he has come to do. And he is doing so by way of images or metaphors. It is like illustrating it in a book. You may be aware of the seven I am statements unique to the Gospel of John. These are statements that Jesus uses to define who he is and what his mission or work is. They are very important statements and they are easy to remember. Do you remember them all? They start in John chapter 6. In John 6:35, Jesus says, "He is the bread of life." Then in John 8:12, Jesus says, "He is the light of the world." In John 11:25, Jesus says, "He is the resurrection and the life." In John 14:6, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." In John 15:5, "He is the vine." And here in our reading in John 10, he is two things. Firstly, in verses 7 and 9, he is the door of the sheep. And secondly, in verse 11, he is the good shepherd. And our text falls right in the middle of these particular I am statements. Notice for a moment who the audience is here. Back in John 9 verse 40, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking with people who are disputing with him. And Jesus was talking about their blindness and sin. They are blind to the things of God. They are blind to the revelation and purposes of God. Most sadly, they are blind to the ultimate revelation of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gifts that he brings. And Jesus chooses to talk to them by using these images or metaphors. Let's look at the key images here. Verse 1 of chapter 10. We have a sheepfold, that is a sheep pen or sheep yard. We have a door to the sheepfold and other ways into the sheepfold that thieves and robbers use. Then in verse 2 we have a shepherd of the sheep who enters by the door. In verse 3 we have a doorkeeper, the one who knows who the shepherds are. And when these true shepherds enter into the sheepfold, they call for their sheep. By name, it says, and they respond and follow them. The sheep in the story know their shepherds. They know the sound of their voice and they will follow them. A bond of trust exists. And the sheep know they will find peace and security when they follow their shepherd. Verse 5 says the sheep will by no means follow a stranger. They will in fact flee or run from them. They do not know the strange voice. There is no trust or connection. There is no relationship. And then in verse 7, Jesus becomes very specific. In his illustration or story, he reveals that he is actually the door to the sheep. The door to the place of security where his sheep are. The door that is in itself a mechanism of security. After all, that is what a door does, doesn't it? Think about it for a moment. The door to your house, for example. It secures your home. It protects it from the weather and from intruders, and is the normal or right way of getting in and out. But in verse 8, there are a group of individuals who don't use the door. They don't use the right way to get into the sheepfold or sheep pen. They have bad motives and they choose to get in another way, usually over the top or by breaking in. And when they get in, they cause pain and damage and suffering. They are very bad news. Who is Jesus referring to here? That's an important question. Well, our reading from Ezekiel 34 helps answer that question. It's a chapter about bad shepherds in the history of Israel. As it said in verse 3 of that reading, it said that eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. The shepherds here were the rulers of the people. Israel and Judah were punished for their sins and idolatry. but it was their rulers that let them down. Their kings and rulers were the ones that corrupted and oppressed them, when they should have been keeping themselves and their people right before God, in worshipping and serving the only true and living God. In the New Testament context, the Pharisees are the ones failing in their shepherding duties, the ones who are disrupting and causing suffering to the sheep of Israel, who refuse and do not know the door to the sheep, and even try to stone him later in this chapter. Then, in verse 9 of our text, we read that Jesus again says that he is the door. And then, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So, Jesus is here establishing himself as the way of access to the sheep. But not just any sheep. These are his sheep, his saved sheep. This is speaking of the redeemed of Christ, his elect people. You and me, if we are in him. And these sheep of Christ enter into his sheepfold only by him, by faith in him and recognizing who he truly is. As he goes on to say in this chapter, he is the son of his heavenly Father and that he is one with him. The sheep of Jesus, we are told here, also go in and out and find pasture. In other words, they follow Jesus as their shepherd and he leads them into rivers of water and green pastures. He looks after them and ministers to their needs. He grants them a vast array of special gifts. What are some of the gifts that we receive from Jesus? Every day, that is. Well, firstly, we receive grace and mercy. In Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 23, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Secondly, we receive ongoing forgiveness for our sins. In 1 John 1 verse 9 we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Then, in physical things, we receive daily blessings. In Acts chapter 17, Paul describes the essence of physical life. "It is he who gives to all life, breath, and all things. And it is in him that we live and move and have our being." But our text goes a step further and says something very special. What is it? Well, it's in verse 10b, the second part of verse 10. "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." We have the gift of physical life Yes. But Jesus is referring to something else. He is, of course, referring to salvation and the redeemed life, of life in Christ, a life of new affections and a new man or woman leading a Christ-filled life, a transformed life. And what does this mean more abundantly? We should be very interested to know this. It's one thing to have this life in Christ and love it, but more abundantly. That seems to mean there is something else. Verses 27 and 28 in our reading from John 10 give the answer. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus grants life, yes, but he also grants eternal life. This is the wonderful abundance of which Jesus is speaking. And this eternal life is eternally secure. There will be no more dangers of thieves and robbers. Psalm 16 verse 11 expresses it this way. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And 1 Peter 1, 3-5 expresses it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so, brothers and sisters, we do indeed have a wonderful truth before us today. It's a simple truth with a very powerful meaning. It's a vital truth you can rely on and share with others. People might ask you, what's Jesus all about? Who is he? Then you can say, based on this text, that Jesus is God's Son. He came to give me life. I know it and rejoice in it every day. But even better, it is mine forever. Even when my body dies, I will live because Jesus has given me eternal life. This is a truth that also gives great purpose and meaning to our lives. Our life in Christ transforms us into new creatures. We speak differently. We live differently to the world. We seek and love relationships with other people who are in this life. We speak the same language and pray the same language. Our affections are in the same things, like God's word and his adoration and praise, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can rejoice together in the daily blessings and eternal promises that Jesus gives to us. So Jesus is truly the door to abundant life. And may God bless his word to us this morning. Amen.